D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
What might it look like if Christian people entered government and other positions of real influence and acted with courage according to their Christian beliefs? Find out on today's Truths That Transform.
This is Truths That Transform.
Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. We are at a watershed moment in American history. Voters made sweeping changes in the ballot box last November, but will it be the beginning of a renewal in America, or just another flash in the pan as the nation continues its drift into godlessness and away from both biblical truth and our Constitution? On today's program, you'll meet one of the world's most impactful Christian statesmen, and you'll discover how we could see real transformation right here in America. And you will have the opportunity to help make that happen. As we begin, I'm joined by our own John Rabe to discuss a major ministry initiative that we're launching to make our biggest impact yet on this nation. Welcome, John. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Frank. Always good to be with you. We are launching the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Leadership. Tell us a little bit about what that is and why we're doing that.
20 years ago, I went to Washington, D.C. to launch the Center for Christian Statesmanship for Dr. Kennedy. And I observed firsthand what was going on with incoming freshman members of Congress and what kind of an impact they had. And when I arrived there 20 years ago, there was an incoming freshman class that was unique, perhaps in American history.
That was the Gingrich Revolution. The class of 94 was just getting into office.
That's exactly right. That was the Contract for America and right. All the promises that were made in association with that. And that was the year that the Republicans took back control of the House of Representatives for the first time in 56 years. It was literally a watershed moment. And in that freshman incoming class, about 70% of the members of that class were self-identified evangelical Christians. And there were such high expectations for what we thought we would see. But I've got to confess that over the next decade of watching that class, most of our expectations turned out to be naught. There were a group that came in and said, we're for term limits. And 6 years later, they were gone and had no impact at all. There was another group that clearly wasn't ready to be there, and they were just willing to do whatever leadership told them to do. Mm-hmm. We're going to tell you how to vote today, and that's what they would do. So that big tidal wave of change came in and just as quickly washed back out without any noticeable difference. So I began thinking about and talking with others about a new approach to leadership, a training program that would prepare people for service in the public policy arena before they run for election, instead of waiting for them to get there and then have that deer in the headlights look and really have no impact.
So we've heard a lot about different kinds of leadership training, and even the idea of leadership training won't be a new concept to anyone.
Right.
What makes this different than other sorts of leadership training that we've heard of?
For, I would say, three reasons, three major differences. The first is that the deficit that I saw that was the biggest of those that got there and had no impact is they did not have a well-grounded biblical worldview.
Mm.
They didn't really know how to take their worldview and apply it to the great moral, ethical, and economic and social questions of the day. The second piece of it was they got there without the skills needed to succeed. They weren't really trained in how to speak, how to debate, how to do media relations, how to negotiate, and they weren't trained in the political philosophies of the opponents that they would face once they got there. So we're going to combine biblical worldview and constitutional training with practical leadership training in the area of speech and debate, in the area of media relations and negotiations, and in political philosophy. With those two things done, we're then going to work with the ones we train on strategizing how to prepare to get for that, to that place, and to make a difference on the issues that really matter. But in the end, John, our goal is to equip these future leaders and challenge them to have a holy ambition to go into government and rise to the highest level of influence that God will give them, and to stand for Christ in that place.
This is being operated out of the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Statesmanship right on Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. And there are already activities underway in the new Center for Christian Leadership, aren't there?
There are. In fact, the very things that we're going to be training future candidates, we're working with existing leaders in Washington, D.C. who want to sharpen their skills and become better at mastering the tools necessary to succeed in that place. And so through the Center for Christian Statesmanship, we have a weekly members Bible study fellowship in which they're looking at the Word of God, they're looking at the Constitution, they're trying to apply, as the founders did, their biblical worldview to an understanding of how things ought to be in our nation's government, and to regain an inspiration and understanding of how the genius of the founders was expressed in the Constitution, because so much of our constitutional freedoms have been lost, in many cases, through ignorance. And so we are training existing leaders, and we're going to be training 300 people a year and turning them loose to find whatever level God gives them. Maybe that's the county school board in their local community. Maybe that's in the state legislature. Maybe that's in the House and Senate, or even higher.
Frank, this new initiative is very consistent with Dr. Kennedy's vision for Christian engagement in the culture. And I think many people respected Dr. Kennedy because they felt here is somebody who's out in the arena making a difference. This initiative is going to make a difference very much in keeping with what Dr. Kennedy would have wanted, isn't it?
I think so, John. That was one of the hallmarks of his early ministry, was being faithful to proclaim biblical truth and to teach and disciple and do the work of an evangelist. He did that better than most.
He did.
But he also felt the need for hands-on ministry. And so 22 years ago, I opened the Center for Christian Statesmanship, which was followed by the Center for Reclaiming America and the Center for Creation Studies. Dr. Kennedy founded Knox Seminary, Westminster Academy, institutions that were hands-on making a difference in these areas. And the Center for Christian Leadership is very much in keeping with that tradition. We are out there engaging the culture, boots on the ground, to use the military language, in Washington, D.C., and believing that God's going to bless and honor these efforts.
Well, we're certainly going to need help in order to carry out a project of this scope, and we'll have more information later on in the program for our viewers to be able to get involved and help us with that. But it's extremely exciting what we see God already doing on Capitol Hill and what we think he's going to do through this program. I'm really looking forward to it. I know you are as well, Frank. Thank you for having me, and we'll look forward to seeing what God does with the new D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Leadership.
Thanks for being with me here today, John.
Thank you for having me.
There are many politicians today who are professing Christians, but what we really need are more Christian statesmen. What's the difference between those two? Where the politician is more concerned about winning the next election, the statesman is more concerned about pleasing God and doing what is right, even at great personal cost. One of the greatest, if not the greatest, Christian statesman in history was William Wilberforce of England. Dr. D. James Kennedy shares some of his life with us in a portion of his message titled, William Wilberforce, Christian Statesman.
William Wilberforce, not a name that is a household name in America, but of course he was British, born and lived his life in England. William Wilberforce was a remarkable man. He was a man that had a few outstanding gifts, And one of those was his ability to speak. But you say, he was a great man. Well, he was. He was a giant of a man. 4'11", he was hunchbacked, and his head was always down and turned slightly sideways. That was William Wilberforce, who changed the world. One day, when he was running for Parliament, he couldn't see the people couldn't see him. Somebody set him up on a table. And a reporter watching it said, they put a shrimp up on the table. But I listened to him. And as I watched and listened, he turned into a whale, a giant of a man. He was blessed. His father left him a fortune. His grandfather left him a fortune. His uncle left him another one. He was one of the most wealthy people in England. He hobnobbed in his younger years with all of the greats. He went to see John Newton because there was something that he was really concerned about, and that was slavery. And he thought Newton ought to know something about it since he had been a slave trader in his unconverted days. And he said, do not leave your position in Parliament. You would be deserting the calling that God has called you to. And so he decided to stay. And he decided also that he would find the greatest cause that he knew about, and he would give his life to that cause. And the cause he chose was the end of slavery in Great Britain. But there was hardly any part of English business that wasn't wrapped around slavery in some way or another. So what did he do? He decided he'd give a talk. He spent 2 years studying to give that talk. We finally stood up in Parliament and spoke, and he was by this time probably the greatest speaker in Parliament. He spoke for 4.5 hours. He made his motion to end the slave trade in Great Britain. The motion was defeated, roundly defeated. Well, he did not give up. Came back the next year. Gave another speech, another motion, defeated. Next year, defeated. The next year, defeated. He gave up the next year, came back the following year, and gave another speech, and another, 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 and another. Finally, the vote was positive, and the British slave trade ended. But that was only half of his goal. It was to end slavery in all of the British colonies. So he set himself to that. Again, 25 more years. Now he is an elderly man. There are still hundreds of thousands of slaves in British ownings. But he continued to pray and to work as he grew older and older. He continued to persist. Every year a speech, every year another vote, every year defeat. Finally, he was unable to continue for health reasons. He retired to his home in London. And in that session, they had a great discussion of the subject. A motion was made to end slavery in all of the colonies of Great Britain around the world. The motion passed. There was a great outcry of joy among all of those that had worked with him for so long to end that, and they set a runner to his home to help, to tell him before he died that at last his great cause had been won. And the victory came. And of course, he rejoiced in the Lord that this had happened and that a lifetime of effort had succeeded. May I point out to you this? Great Britain ended slavery without a civil war. And at Westminster Abbey, these are the words that are carved into the marble where he has been laid. In an age and country fertile with great and good men, he was among the foremost of those who fixed the character of their times, because to high and various talents, to warm benevolence and universal candor, he added the abiding eloquence of a Christian life. What difference does Christianity make? The eloquence of his Christian life was credited with changing England.
God used William Wilberforce and his coterie of committed Christian friends to help bring about positive changes in England, changes that reverberated around the world, including here in America. Although many in Parliament in those days may have claimed to be Christians, Wilberforce showed his commitment to the Lord by applying the mind of Christ even to his politics. We need the same thing in our day, more Christians with perseverance and practical wisdom, as well as being committed to biblical principles of government. And we at D. James Kennedy Ministries aim to do something about that. Let's take a closer look.
Disgruntled U.S. voters elect wholesale and historic change.
There's a new wind blowing, and it is a majority for Republicans.
Voters sweep Democrats from power in midterm elections and give Republicans control of the House and Senate for the first time in 40 years.
We have a contract with America. We had 330 candidates sign the contract. We put it in TV Guide as a full-page ad.
22 years ago, when Dr. Kennedy sent me to Washington, D.C., I was literally able to be an observer of the place and the people. In that freshman class, there were scores, maybe even 80% of that freshman class were people that self-identified as evangelical Christians.
So, after 3 weeks in power, Republicans are finding that not every vote is a slam dunk for them.
Looking at it 20 years later, they swept in like a wave breaking on the beach, and like waves tend to do, they ebbed back out into the ocean, and in some respects with little discernible impact.
June 26, 2015, gay marriage is now legal across the United States.
The move to defund Planned Parenthood of $500 million in federal funding came up short in the Senate.
The last time the U.S. had no national debt was 1835, and now it's closing in on $20 trillion.
How many students have read the Constitution? How many have read the preamble? How many have read the Declaration of Independence? It is the agreement by which we agree to be governed. And when it's violated, we need to take that seriously.
At the end of another election season, we are yet again reminded how deeply our nation needs Christian statesmen. Such leaders are few and far between. But that will have to change if we are to continue as a free people. The positive influence of Christianity in public life cannot be overstated. Perhaps the greatest exemplar of this truth in recent centuries was the great British Christian statesman William Wilberforce.
It was said of Wilberforce, good causes affixed themselves to him like pins to a magnet.
When Wilberforce died, he was described as the George Washington of humanity.
The British government was making £500 million sterling per year, taking black bodies and putting them in the holds of ships and carrying them to the Western Hemisphere and selling them. And so he stood up on the floor of the Parliament, influenced by his new Christian conviction, and took a stand that was enormously unpopular because all of the vested interests in Britain opposed him, including the government.
He kept fighting the good fight, despite the kinds of opposition that he incurred, despite the threats to his life, the physical assault he suffered, despite a challenge to a duel from a West Indian slave-owning captain. Wilberforce soldiered on.
He kept fighting, and one day, a snowy night in the February of 1807, a majority of votes was cast abolishing the slave trade.
I was talking to the leader of the Republican Congress not long ago, he sort of whistled. He said, Wilberforce, 47 years? He said, I can't get some of my fellow Republican congressmen to concentrate on an issue more than 5 months.
There's a lot of good people in public office. There's some who get elected under a certain party label and aren't even sure really what that party's platform stands for, much less having a core and settled philosophy of government themselves. Talk with them about how important it is to study, to show yourself a workman fully approved, right? Rightly able to divide truth, as Scripture says. We have to be able to discern false arguments, but you can't do that unless you have true wisdom.
It means that we have got to say enough of the politics as usual. And we've got to send men and women here to Washington who are serious, aren't worried about re-election, aren't worried about preserving their majority. Or rather, they're more concerned about preserving the nation.
For too long, professing Christians have gone to Washington and other realms of leadership, perhaps meaning well, but lacking a biblical worldview and the practical tools needed to get things done. We are launching a major new initiative to change that, and you can be part of it. Here's my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy, to tell us more. Jen, welcome.
Thank you, Frank. If ever there was a moment when you had a real opportunity to shape the course of our nation for the sake of our children and grandchildren and for generations to come, this is that moment. We are launching the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Leadership out of our Washington, D.C. offices with the goal of identifying and training promising leaders to bring our nation back to its constitutional and biblical foundations. We will equip them not only with a biblical worldview, but also with the ability to act practically and strategically to implement policy. Nobody else is doing this critically important work, but we must. This is going to be an expensive undertaking, but it has never been more critical, and we will need your help in order to do it. This is an incredible opportunity to influence our nation for Christ in a tangible way, a way that will bear fruit for decades. Please prayerfully consider giving a generous donation to help us launch the D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Leadership, as well as finishing the year in the black so we can move forward in 2018 with the critical work the Lord has given us to do. As our thanks for your generous donation, we'll send you one of my father's most requested books, Truths That Transform. Newly republished as part of our Deeper Walk series, this book examines key principles of Christian doctrine such as holiness, Christ's return, eternal security, heaven, and much more. And it's our thanks for your generous donation. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. And if you're able to give a donation of $75 or more, we'll send you the Truths That Transform book, plus the audio book on 6 CDs. You'll be helping us finish the year in the black so that we can move forward into 2018 with our new D. James Kennedy Center for Christian Leadership in Washington, D.C., as well as producing vital television documentaries and broadcasting the life-changing Word of God. Please contact us right away with your tax-deductible donation, and we'll thank you by sending you the newly republished book, Truths That Transform, featuring my father's scriptural answers to major questions of the Christian faith in easy-to-understand language. Or for your donation of $75 or more, we'll send the book plus the 6-CD unabridged audiobook. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org.
Lately, it has become all the rage in America to revise our history, scrubbing the public square of monuments and memorials to leaders who failed in one area or another. having ended up, as the popular phrase puts it, on the wrong side of history. It began with leaders who fought for the South in the Civil War, like General Robert E. Lee, and it has extended to anyone whose life fails to conform to 21st century progressive understandings. Most recently, the Episcopal Church in Virginia, where George Washington himself worshiped for the final decade of his life, announced that they would be removing a plaque honoring Washington. They said it made, quote, "some in our presence feel unsafe or unwelcome," unquote. The plaque will be removed at the same time as a plaque honoring Lee, whose wife made a significant gift in the 1870s to establish that church's endowment. Of course, we all now recognize the evil of the slave trade, yet it's an issue to which many of our forefathers were sadly blinded. They were products of their times, sharing some of the characteristic blindness of that age. Set aside for a moment the puerile foolishness of ignoring the titanic accomplishments of a George Washington over one issue where he was blind to his error. But that does raise an important question. Are the leaders of our age willing to be judged themselves by the future standards which they judge others now? What are the cultural blinders our society is wearing today that will cause monuments to be torn down in future centuries? Revisionist history is a tricky thing. Many of our cultural so-called progressives are cheering this purging of the monuments. But how will they feel decades from now when, say, the name of Barack Obama is being removed from schools and streets and museums because of his steadfast support and enabling of genocide through abortion? Future generations will rightly look upon the moral blindness of our age with pity and with shame. And it's very likely that our leaders who have governed without moral clarity or regard to God's truth will one day find themselves on the wrong side of history. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
The introduction of the Christian faith has been the greatest boon that mankind has ever known.
The nation is in trouble. It's in dire trouble. And they realize that there aren't as many Christian statesmen up there as there should be on the Hill.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.